makers of X-Lax present Strange as It Seems. Again tonight, X-Lax, the original chocolated laxative, brings you three more Strange as It Seems episodes. The woman who makes her living with a pea shooter. You can hardly believe it, yet it's true. This strange story of the outlaw genius and the incredible but true story of the power of the press. But listen, and you'll understand. Another thing you'll understand, if you'll just try X-Lax once, is why, out of all the laxatives in the world, it is overwhelmingly the favorite. 46 million boxes were bought last year in America alone, because X-Lax is milder, it's gentler, and it is thoroughly effective. Besides, it is such a joy to take. Imagine, it tastes like a piece of delicious chocolate. You'll love it.
The power of the press. It is July 1st, 1934, in Sedalia, Missouri. For many weeks, there has been no rain, and crops are withering in the sun. Jake Anderson has seen streams on his farm drying up. Even the spring where he gets his drinking water is sinking deeper and deeper into the parched earth. The evening is hot and sticky, and Jake Anderson is sitting at a table in his shirt sleeves. He is hard at work, writing. Then Susan, his wife, comes into the room.
It's so hot in that kitchen, I can't face that pile of dirty dishes another second. What are you writing?
Oh, nothing much.
Let me look.
Well, all right, Susan, but don't laugh.
For land's sake.
Well, might just as well. Got to get some rain somehow.
Advertising for rain. Jake Anderson, have you gone crazy?
I don't see why you say that. Maybe it will rain. Who knows?
Let me read that ad. Wanted. Rain. Good drenching rain desired. Showers accepted. Come on, rain. Badly needed to aid growing crops and harvesting. Fill reservoirs and bring prosperity to Pettis County. To be delivered throughout entire Pettis County, if possible, between today and midnight, July 4th, 1934. Well, I declare, Jake Anderson, this drought made you goofy.
I think that ad sounds kind of good.
Oh, you do? Well, I think it's the craziest thing I ever heard of. And don't you dare let anybody else see it.
What?
I'm going to tear it up right now.
No, you don't. You give me that paper.
Give it back to me, you nut.
No, if you'd have teared that up, I'd have been plenty sore. I'm leaving.
Well, but Jake, where are you going?
I'm going down to the newspaper office and put this ad in for tomorrow night.
Jake Anderson, you come back here.
Not on your life. Goodbye.
Two nights later, Jake and Susan are sitting once more in their living room. The day has been sultry, and they are both glad to rest.
Well, it hasn't rained yet.
Oh, cut it out, Susan. You women sure can't let a thing alone. Nothing but jaw about that ad ever since I put it in the paper.
And everybody read it, too.
Well, what of it? No wonder I never get no place. You know I always wanted to be a newspaper man. Now when I get the chance to show what I can do, you sit there and laugh at me.
Oh, now, Jake, I don't mean to do that.
Well,
but it was silly. Everybody at the 4th of July parade today was talking about it.
I don't mind other folks making fun of me, but I get tired of having you do it.
Oh, come on, honey. Let's go outside on the porch. Might be cooler now that the sun's gone down.
Well, all right. Does seem cooler. Kind of a breeze through the window.
Yeah. Really, it's almost chilly. Why, Jake, it's cloudy.
Susan, look on the dirt there.
Huh?
It's damp. It's raining.
It can't be.
Listen, on the roof. It's raining, all right. Now who's laughing? I guess I was right when I said it pays to advertise.
Strange as it seems, an ad for rain to come by July 4th actually did appear in the Sedalia, Missouri Democrat and Capitol. And it rained July 4th. The woman who makes her living with a pea shooter. We take you now to Merry England to meet a woman who has one of the very oddest jobs in all the world. For Mary Ann Smith of London, England, earns her living with a pea shooter.
Oh, it's a fair enough way to earn a living. It's an honest bit of work, it is. Here on Brenton Street, down our way, there's many as can't afford an alarm clock. Dock workers, carters, mill hands and such. Glad enough they are to get bread and a mug of beer, with maybe now and then an odd of coal in the winter to blow up a bit of a fire. But work they must, and that grand and early. Oh, it's the London morning what puts a man to sleep, and blimey tries to keep him there, what with its fog and its smoke and its dark all about. So haps I gets, takes me pea shooter and goes me rounds. Ooh, but it's cold enough, yes, and it's dark too. But I wraps myself up warm and I goes on me way. It's 3:30 when I starts. I comes to a customer's window and I never stops shooting peas against the pine till they shoves their blooming heads out of the window and cries, "All right, drop it." Then I moves on to the next customer. Some of them gets that angry they haps and throws things at me. Lummy, they'd hit me if I didn't dodge them. But I don't let them get away with none of the pretending. Haps they gets and haps they stays when Mary Ann Smith's on duty. Oh, well, I'll be toddling along. Toodaloo.
Strange as it seems, Mary Ann Smith actually makes her living by shooting peas at the windows of sleeping folks. Have you ever heard of a stranger occupation? The Outlaw Genius. You are now in Limehouse, that mysterious quarter of London that awakens to life when the city sleeps. It is around 1880. A London fog hangs over the sinister quarter. The gas lights glow dimly. Against a lamp post leans a man, muffled in a heavy coat. He is watching for someone.
Good evening, Mr. Lloyd. Part night.
Good evening, Long Fu.
You're awake for somebody?
Yes, Long Fu. When he comes, maybe we'll step into your place for a noggin of grog.
Fine, fine. You're come.
Wish he'd get here. This blooming fog's as thick as pea soup.
Mr. Lloyd! Oh, Mr. Lloyd!
Here I am.
Sorry, Mr. Lloyd. The fog is so thick it is hard to find this corner.
Are you Theodore Joseph, what you call it?
I am Theodore Joseph Korzenyovsky.
All right. Come with me. We can talk better out of this blinking fog.
Why do you want to see me?
Not so loud. Jack Weems told me about you. Said you've been everywhere from Singapore to Cape Town.
I have. Almost lost my life in the Congo.
Well, we want somebody who knows the sea.
But I've decided to give it up. I want to settle down in England.
Well, let's talk it over a bit first. Here's Long Fu's place. Just a minute before we go inside. Now remember, don't talk too loud. Never know who's going to listen.
Just as you say.
Yeah, there's a table over there. Yeah, here we are.
Welcome to Honorable Mr. Lloyd.
Hello, Long Fu. This is Joseph Korzenyovsky. Oh, yes, a friend of mine.
Honorable, how's yours, Mr.?
Never mind, Long Fu. I can't say it either. Bring some grog, will you?
Very well, Mr. Lloyd.
Now, we want you to go with us into Spain on a little private business.
Huh? What kind of business?
Ever heard of smuggling arms?
Smuggling arms? You mean across the...
Careful, yes. Into Spain.
But it's a dangerous business. Every man is against you.
Not if you use your head.
Oh, but I'm not a strong man. I nearly died of Congo fever when I was in Africa. I might not be able to stand alive.
Yeah, there's money in it. There's enough to buy you a house and a garden for the man who can speak foreign lingo. You can do it.
Smuggling arms, huh?
Why, there's no danger. I'm here, ain't I?
For honorable visitors.
Here, buy yourself some chopsticks, long fool.
Thank you.
Say you'll do it.
A smuggler? I've always been an honest man, so far.
You can be an honest man again if everything works out.
Very well. I'll join you.
Your hand on it, Mr. Joseph Korzeniowski.
Here's to success and long life.
Yes, long life.
And now, Mr. Lloyd, tell me the plan.
Strange as it seems, this dashing smuggler by the name of Theodore Joseph Korzeniowski is none other than the famous novelist Joseph Conrad, author of Lord Jim, Nigger of the Narcissus, and other stories of adventure. Moreover, Conrad could not speak English until he was past 20 and never opened an English grammar in his life. When we tell you that over 46 million boxes of X-Lax were bought last year in America alone, that if they were laid down end to end, they would reach from Chicago to Daytona, Florida, we aren't saying it to boast, but because it has a very definite bearing on you. Whenever you buy anything, you want the best. The fact that more X-Lax is bought than any other laxative is proof that it is the best. Millions of people find in X-Lax a special gentleness and mildness. They find a thorough effectiveness. They find X-Lax so pleasant to take. It tastes just like delicious chocolate. And that's much better than taking some nasty-tasting medicine, isn't it? They find X-Lax the perfect family laxative, suitable for grown-ups and children alike. You can get X-Lax at any drugstore, and a box costs only 10 cents. Once in America, a man named Pope lived in Rome on the banks of the Tiber. Where was Rome and what river was called the Tiber? Just one hint. The city is now the most important one in the United States, and the river now runs in pipes underground. The next Strange as It Seems program will explain this interesting fact. You will also meet the ghost of Shakespeare, who actually wrote a play which was produced by the management of the Drury Lane Theater. A ghost writing a play? Impossible. But this ghost really did it. You have just heard Strange as It Seems by John Hicks, directed by Cyril Armbrister. Water is intoxicating.